Well, I don't know about you, but I had a hard time getting up this morning. I was demotivated to get out of my warm bed and warm covers with these temperatures, and I feel like I'm still waking up. And so I don't know if that's where you are this morning, but I'm going to start with a word of prayer before we jump in, trusting that the good Lord will wake us all up if we're not already. So will you bow with me in a word of prayer? Dear Lord, we give thanks for this morning and for the sun that rises and bathes this still, silent, cold, waking earth with warmth and with light, reminders of the ways you cast your presence into the deepest and darkest and coldest places in our hearts. And so, Lord, we pray that as we dive into your scriptures, that you would speak even through me and where necessary in spite of me, that we might know you more and that our hearts might be strangely warmed by your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our scripture passage today comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. And then there's a whole lot of fun verses, but I just picked 9 through 19. And I'm reading it from the Message translation because it puts a great spin on a passage that is full of run-on sentences. Paul is the gift of run-on sentences. He's the master at it. And so the Message kind of breaks it down in ways that make it a little more edible for us to digest the morning. So follow along or read in the app or just listen as we dive into this passage this morning. Here's what I want you to do, Paul begins. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Then down 9, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be servants of the master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. I like that one. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. And if you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Isn't that fun? I love the way the Message puts a twist on things and the ways it just helps break scripture down to be a little more applicable to our lives or just to give it a fresh reading in our ears. But the way it ends is great. I'll take care of it, God says. I'll take care of it. Now, I wanted, as I was rereading through the scripture this week, to say that God will take care of all things, but I'll take care of it follows the sentence right before it that begins with the judging. Don't judge. I'll take care of that, God says. So we leave that to God, even though I want to give God so much more. Everything else, though, isn't just a hands up in the air, give it over to God. Everything else is a cooperative. That's how the passage begins, with this God and me. Paul's instructions are for us to place our everyday, ordinary lives before God, and then God will help change us from the inside out. God will take care of the judging, but everything else is this cooperative. It's a both and, a Jesus and me and us endeavor, a cooperative. And isn't that great? I loved how you mentioned how you and Steve just happened to be in the grocery store at the right time. And in order for God to make that relationship work, there had to be a cooperative of you and Steve being there and of the gentleman at the meat counter, you all having this conversation. Sometimes God does the miraculous intervention, but more often than not, it requires a you and me, God and me response. Cooperative. Which is a good thing, because as we begin this new year, we are finding out by this week that resolutions are very hard to keep. Are you a resolutions person? Are you someone, raise your hand, are you a resolutions person? No, it's been beaten out of you over the years. I love that. It's true though. I mean, there are different studies and everybody has these different reports, but the majority of people say that from anywhere half to two-thirds of people who do make resolutions don't even make it to the month of January. By week three is when everybody just gives up and goes back to eating chocolate or cheese or whatever their thing was. Some do make it through, though, the first month, and those people end up dropping out by March. I think it's 1 out of 10 by the most generous survey says that people who make the resolutions at the beginning of the year actually carry them through. It's hard to do this stuff alone. And if you are the kind of person who doesn't do resolutions because it has been beaten out of you, the defeat of all the years of failed resolutions, perhaps, though, maybe you're just a general goals kind of person. This is something that people say, I'm going to lose certain pounds, and I don't know about you, but at the doctor's, that's usually a prescription that they give me of making sure you lose 5 pounds or so between our next visit. If I don't gain weight between visits, I consider that a win. And so, you know, resolutions and goals, they're difficult. They're challenging. I wish God could just take care of all of that, that there was a magic something that would just solve my problems. Old habits die hard, and life gets complicated in a hurry. But God wants to be a part of our everyday, ordinary lives, working with us to change us from the inside out. Good and challenging words for me this morning and for my family. So we are kind of resolution people or word of the year people, but Kate and I both invested in life planning calendars for this year. Kate has gotten hers out. I decided to not start mine till February. But we've realized in the past 6 months, so we've added a third, Levi, to our family 6 months ago. He just turned 6 months a week or so ago. I forget his birthday because he's number three. But there are more of us now, and there's more stuff. We're in the wake of Christmas. We're in the wake of a new son. There's more commitments. There are more people. There are more needs. There's just more. And so we've thought, well, this year we're going to try to simplify our lives. This Simply series is a great start for us personally. And I loved Kevin's message last week when he talked about the miscellaneous drawer or the miscellaneous garage. You inspired me to clean out my garage so I could park my car. It was either you or the negative 10 degree temperatures that spurred it on. But I'm thankful for your message. But the thing that I'm learning, though, not only from Pastor Kevin's message last week and in the wake of our lives, is that life and resolutions and change, I'm learning about all these, are difficult. Not a big revelation, but life just has a way of happening. Complications never go away. Some might end while others will begin, but life just always happens. There will always be needs, and there are always things that we wish we could change. But there is only one thing that is simply essential for us this year. And this is it. Simply Jesus. simply Jesus. Now, of course, you'd expect your pastor to say that, right? So we're talking about New Year's and changes maybe that we want to make, or maybe we've just given up on making changes altogether. But simply Jesus is a good motto for all of us to live into as we think about our own lives this year. Simple as it is, I want to try to unpack it a little bit and give us touch points for how simply Jesus is simply essential for our lives and our church in 2018. Paul writes, here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Cooperative. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. I love the way he writes that. My everyday ordinary life, to choose to place it before God as an offering. As an offering. That's an interesting word. This divine cooperative where we choose to place our lives before God and to invite God into the everyday ordinary parts. Not the miraculous, not the super special, but just the normal stuff. Our sleeping, our eating, our going to work, our everyday ordinary lives. To invite God into that and to place it before God as an offering. That's a different starting point. See, most often we ask God to bless our endeavors. At least I do. I don't know about you. But my wants or my desires, sometimes in the middle of a morning, Sunday morning, as I'm finishing up final notes on a sermon, I say, God, here's what I got. Please bless it. Now, hopefully throughout the week, I'm saying, God, what do you want me to say? What is it that needs to be spoken? What do you have to say to me, first of all? And then what should I say it on to them, to the church? But a lot of times it ends up being, God, will you just bless the plans I've already made? Yeah. It's easy to do. And usually it's not malicious. We're not trying to intentionally do that. But it's a sneaky way of creeping in, of making it about us and not placing our wants, our desires, or everyday ordinary before God as an offering. It's a divine cooperative, but we're not in the driver's seat. Practice playing second fiddle. Wasn't that great? Don't be the great somebody. Most often, we do ask God to do this, and God, here's what I'm going to do. Please make it happen. Instead of saying, God, what is it you want me to do? How can I work with you to make it happen? Doing that is a different orientation, a different starting point, a different way of thinking and living and having our being that invites us to be changed from the inside out, as the Bible tells us. That's a different place. New Year's resolutions are almost always good. Losing excess weight is this common recommendation that doctors give. Getting our finances disciplined and in order can relieve a lot of stress and burden. Giving up alcohol or smoking or other vices are musts if we want to live a healthier, fuller life. And having appropriate work-life relationship boundaries can save marriages and families and careers. All of those are good things to do and better ways to become. Nearly all of people's New Year's resolutions are good, and they generally might make you a better person. But at the end of the day, they won't give you the relief you are longing for, because they cannot give you that relief. More often than not, we try to change from the outside in, thinking that if we have certain possessions, or if we look a certain way, or if we lose these extra pounds, or if we can get our bank accounts to fill in the number, or bless our hearts, our 401ks, then things will be taken care of. Then relief will come. But that's exactly the opposite what Paul writes in our passage this morning. If we think if we get the outside taken care of, then it'll give us this inner relief. But that kind of way of living is exhausting. And it's not very filling either. One of the things I still have a problem with is thinking that if I get this certain possession, or if I get this certain brand, or if I buy a certain car, then I will be happy. My Dodge Stratus, 2003 Dodge Stratus, do not be jealous, but do grieve for me, went to the car graveyard just a couple weeks ago. And so I bought a Subaru. Yes, thank you, Kevin. Ooh, should be the appropriate response. Because if you know anything about their commercials, I am now an adventurous, outdoorsy, mountain climbing, and I'm a good dad because they're the safest cars in their class. I'm the entire package now that I have a Subaru. My 8-year-old Subaru, by the way. But I don't know what it is for you, but do you ever do that thing where you buy or you acquire or you get that threshold, that possession, and then it's fun for like a day or a week, and then it's like, well, on to the next thing, right? It's fleeting. Our possessions, our brands, or whatever, our shoes, our makeup, our clothes, our pounds, our cars. There's something about this always chasing after the wind that Ecclesiastes wisdom literature writes. It's not a one-to-one correlation about whatever your thing is or my thing is, but there is something that is at the root of all of it, and it's this. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Jesus. That's Augustine. 1,700 years ago, Augustine was born. And so there's something timeless about this. It's not particular to you or to me or to us or our time or even our culture. But there's something inherent in this restlessness that we all feel by thinking that if we acquire a certain degree or if we have a particular job title or if we live in a house with X number of bathrooms, then we will have arrived. Our hearts are restless until they find our rest in Jesus. Augustine knew this well. He was smart. He was talented. He became wealthy. He was attractive. And Augustine was empty. He was restless. And so he chased after trying to fill his life in many different ways, through many kinds of people, and through all different sorts of places. He was longing for relief. At least that's what he describes in his autobiography, appropriately entitled Confessions. He documented his life's journey and the many, many ways he pursued and sought after peace to no avail. Until ultimately he comes to this conclusion. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Simply essential. Simply Jesus. Taking our everyday, ordinary lives and placing them before God as an offering. It sounds nice. And perhaps a bit convicting and maybe even inspiring as you go forth from this place this morning. Good. But let me drag you down the hole a little bit deeper first. Life just gets in the way. Lots of things, and quite literally things, get in our way. There's stuff, there's work, there are cravings and vices, and there are even like the good things, not even the bad things, but the good things, like places to be and dinners and parties to attend, supporting our children and their schools and their activities. All of these things in life just tend to happen, but I'm wondering, as you reflect on your own schedules, your own calendars, whatever it is that God's placing on your heart this morning, does that activity or does that product, does that desire give you more rest, or does it make you feel more restless? How is life feeling for you as we begin this new year? There's something about this series, Simply, that just brings with it feelings of relief or longing or yearning. If you look at any of the bookstores in our area or online, some of the top bestsellers right now are about how to simplify or organize or declutter our lives. There is something in this that we all yearn for and want, but the Bible keeps reminding us that until we change our insides, whatever happens on the outsides will not give us the rest that we are longing to have. And so before we try to become simply more or weigh simply less, we must orient our lives around simply Jesus. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. It's that simple. It's that essential. It's simply Jesus. We all struggle with this, and not just us individually, but churches aren't exempt from overcomplicating life either. Some of Jesus' harshest words are for religious leaders who made faith harder than it was supposed to be. And some of Jesus' best examples were about simple things, like bread and juice, a widow's mite and a child's lunch full of some fish and loaves of bread. Jesus wanted us to welcome the least and pay attention to the simple things in life. Come follow me, he invited. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light. If that's true, then why does following Jesus often feel so complicated? In what ways might have you added to Jesus' requirements? What do you feel like you need to prove to God? What expectations do you think you need to meet in order for God to accept you? You are enough, exactly the way you are, for God to love you. You don't have to do something. You don't have to achieve a particular status. You don't even have to lose 5 pounds. Thank the Lord. The last thing that we need this year is to have more guilt or senses of failure by not achieving certain goals or resolutions. What we need is Jesus, who loves us and has invited us into God, his life, and longs for us to invite him into ours, that we might be changed from the inside out. And so as we close, I want to give you a couple barometers or ways you can be checking your life today and then maybe checking it a couple times throughout the year. It's hard to quantify our spiritual lives or how we are growing or not growing with Jesus, but here are some ways that might be helpful. Paul actually lays them out for us in the verses following the first two. I'd invite you to go and onto BibleGateway.com and type in Romans chapter 12 under the Message translation, because verses 3 through 8 are equally as fun. I just thought 9 through 19 were a little funner. I know it's more fun. But read through this list this week. Use it as your devotions, because he gives a lot of spatterings about different ways to live a life that has been changed from the inside out. Being good friends and practice playing second fiddle. Don't quit in hard times, pray the harder. I know there's some of us who need to hear that this morning. Be inventive in hospitality. Inviting people to church is a great way to start. Bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath. We all need to be reminded of that one, right? Make friends with nobodies. Laugh when your friends are happy. Share tears when they're down. All of these are just different markers to think, how do I respond to the situations that I find myself in? Read through that list. The second one is actually in the prayer of confession, that Wesleyan covenant prayer. And so throughout the years of Methodism, that has been a prayer that's been typically used either in New Year's Eve service or at some point in January to help reset our lives, that we might place everything before God as an offering. And so use that along with these chapters and verses in Romans as your devotions throughout the week. These are good to-do lists, but I want to give one more example for people who are more feelings-based. And that can be found in Galatians chapter 5. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. In the situations that you're in today and the ways you're feeling, do you feel more loving? Do you have a growing sense of joy in your lives? Are you more patient today than you were a year ago? Are you kind? Does your life embody a growing sense of goodness? Are you faithful, gentle, and in self-control? Only you can answer that question. But let this be a year where you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Let this be a year where you're simply changed from the inside out. For his yoke is easy, and his burden is light, and he loves you. That's a great place to begin. In Jesus' name, amen.